Welcome to In Pursuit of Purpose Podcast. I am your lucky host, Marcus, aka Mark My Words. We got a special treat for y'all today. Yeah, you want to see? You just have to stay tuned in to find out. Inspiration? Could it be I, the one who show you what you may be missing out on your purpose? Yeah, because that's what the show is all about. It's about helping you find that very thing that pulls at your heart. I want to say thank you for tuning in. Thank you for joining me today here on In Pursuit of Purpose Podcast. For those of you listening, don't forget to hit that subscribe, and don't you forget to download the show so you can get the notification when any and every time a show goes up. You need to be aware of that. Today we got a special treat. Today I bring you an interview amongst interviews. Today I bring you a show amongst shows. Today I bring you something you have never heard, because I never heard it myself either until today. But today I'm going to bring you something you need. Today we interview a good brother. His name is Ar-Rahman, and the name is a strong name. I love saying it. Ar-Rahman. Yes. This brother here is what you call a black packer, a world traveler, a yoga teacher, and also a nature enthusiast. He loves to eat natural. He loves to eat organic. He loves to travel the world. He's been to, I think, 6 or 7 continents, if I'm mistaken. 7 continents on the planet. Seen a lot more in the last 6 months than I've seen in my whole life. Literally. And this brother is just going to share wisdom and drop jewels and help us understand what it's like traveling, what it's like getting outside of the country, what it's like getting out of America. But more so, he's also going to be sharing with us some tips about, you know, if you're African American or you're black, if you call yourself that or you call yourself African American, either one. He's going to be talking about, you know, just things that go on, you know, about being black and abroad. You know, we talk about being black and abroad and the fears about that, the fears that come with that, you know. So this is going to be one you're going to be listening to, and you're going to get nothing but the rawness, because this brother do not, you know, he doesn't cut corners when it comes to speaking what's on his mind, and he's giving it to you raw, he's giving it to me raw, and I'm understanding that this is who the brother is, and I think it's a beautiful thing and a pleasure that, you know, we all get to share in who we are, and we get to share and be who we are naturally. And that's what I'm allowing him to do on this episode. So tune in. Again, stay here. You don't want to miss nothing. You don't want to go anywhere, because this is one for the books. I bring you none other than Ar-Rahman. I just want to open the show today by introducing this brother. His name, if you see it, you're not going to pronounce it the way it's supposed to be pronounced. So I'm going to pronounce it, because I just got taught how to pronounce it. His name is Ar-Rahman. And that's a beautiful name. And I just want to say thank you, Ar-Rahman, for joining me on the podcast. Thank you for coming to the show, brother. Man.
Thank you.
Say, talk to the people out of Rockman. Talk to the people.
Well, my name is Adarachman. I'm from New York City, Bronx, boogie down Bronx. 30 years old. Sorry, about to say I'm 29. I'm 30 years old. Just turned last month or whatever. Been traveling for the last 6 to 7 months. Been to several Southeast Asian countries. Got to visit the motherland of Africa, West Africa, Ghana, Accra, Satellite District. It was great. It was a great experience. You know, as for myself, I work about six months out of the year. Mm-hmm. Working in nature. I'm a waiter, but I'm also have my business on the side, which I do massage therapy, holistic healing, such as Reiki practitioner work, chakra balancing, and also I do yoga teaching as well.
Man, chakra balancing, I love that. I didn't even add that one in. I didn't know you did that one. I would have threw that in there. Chakra balancing. Brother, man, yeah. Man, you got a lot. We got to peel back. You got a lot. Yeah. We got to peel a lot of this back, bro. And mm-hmm. I'm just going, you know, man, where do I start, bro? Like, seriously, man, when it comes to just little things like, you know, spirituality. That's not little, but, you know, start in there. Let's start there. You know, one of the things I love, one thing that you call yourself that I love, we're going to get into this. We're going to peel this layer of spirituality back. But one thing that I love that you call yourself is a black packer. Where you get this term black packer from, bro?
Well, it was introduced to me from my homeboy, Binky from The Shy. Mm-hmm. Name is Lawrence Binky. He actually came up with the group called the Black Packers. It's us trying to separate ourselves from the norm of what America wants us to be as Black people. So what happens is we actually settled over in different parts of Southeast Asia, whether it's Cambodia, Malaysia, different parts of Southeast Asia. We are called the Black Packers Connected Southeast Asia. Mm-hmm. A lot of us teach yoga. Some of us teach yoga online and in public. Some of us teach English. Some of us have our own businesses, such as Amazon, work for Google abroad over. And some of us work for also, we also have jobs such as traveling, just traveling the world and working from my laptop like I do.
Digital nomad.
Hmm? Digital nomad. Exactly.
When did you get this love for traveling from? This passion, where did this come from? Family?
Actually, I've been to more countries than my own family has. Mm.
But where did you get this love?
The love for Pat, it all started when I started, how should I put it? Like, when, you know, I woke up one day and I said, you know, I'm going to become a yoga teacher. I always wanted to go to Bali. So I said, you know what, I'm gonna go to Bali. This is the summer of 2016. I was like, you know what, I want to go to Bali. I want to do my thing. I want to learn how to teach yoga, and I want to come back to my people, to heal my people, because we are mentally, spiritually dead right now. Like, we need, like, our community needs healing so bad. And I said, you know what, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna, you know, get the money together, and I'm going to do this. And that's what I did. So I went to Bali in 2016. That's when it all started taking off. I was like, I was addicted to traveling. I was like, you know what? I want to travel. Mm. So it's like, ever since then, I've been traveling. So I was able to get a job where I'm able to travel for work now, you know, outside of my own business that I do. But I also do travel. I travel and I do my own business at the same time. So,
Same here.
So it just... It feels like, for me, I just feel like, you know, I want to get back to our community, you know, and specifically us Black folk. You know what I mean? I really want to get us back, because we are spiritually, mentally dead. I really want to try to just help us out. And I think that's what I want to encourage us, is like, you don't need to, only cost $100 and some for a passport. You know? It's not that expensive. Instead of you buying Jordans, instead of you buying Gucci belts and Prada and all that, designers that don't give a fuck about you. Put that money towards something that could benefit you. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like that's gonna benefit you and possibly benefit your people. Like, you know, that's how I feel. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's very important that we, you know, that this happens for us. Mm-hmm. Like, I want us to like try to get out there and travel more because, dude, like, you seen my posts, you seen my videos already, like, and I seen what you do, you know what I mean, like.
I'm just getting started, man. And guess what, though, man? Already, man, I've already told you, man. Like, it's so funny, man. Like how I already got, like, bruh, no lie, man. It's something about when you say things and you put it out there in the universe, it comes to you, bro. It really comes to you. You manifest it, bro. I gotta talk about this. I gotta share this because I want the audience to hear this. I told you, I'm going to Dubrovnik, Croatia. You feel me?
Okay, yeah.
Remember that? And then I told a person called me up. I'm not gonna reveal who this person is, but somebody called me up, and it was like, I want to meet you for lunch and do this and that. And we did. We met, and this person was like, What's on your agenda? What's next? I was like, where I want to do this. I want to do this. I want to go there, and that person said to me. It's like, I'll pay for your trip to go. I was like, are you kidding me? It was like, yeah. And so, like, you know what I'm saying? Just like that, they're paying for my trip. And it's crazy because right before I got on the line with you, I was, Googling the tickets, the prices and stuff. Because, you know, it's that time. It's like, you see, that's how it happens. And sometimes I put things on my list. I don't be knowing where I'm going to go, you know, but I put things on my list. It speaks to my heart. And next thing you know, it manifests itself to where it's like, that's a sign. And then the sign culminates into somebody like that saying, I'll pay for it. You feel me? And so, so I speak about traveling on this podcast because and I'm going to talk to you more about this because I want to peel this back because you do travel. You travel more than me. I'm getting started, but you travel more than me. And you've seen some things. Doors been opened to your eyes where you've seen things spiritually. And I think that's where I think people help me understand, like, why are our people, black people, why are black people afraid to travel, man? Because you know they always got these worries and these fears about traveling abroad, man. Why do black people are afraid to travel?
Like, for instance, I worked in Alaska last summer. I don't know if I told you that, but I worked in Alaska last summer. And I was telling this sister, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I'm showing this sister love. Like, I'm in an all-white community, you know what I mean? And I'm like, that's the first sister I see. And I'd be like, she's up there bagging my groceries at the Safeway supermarket or whatnot. You know, I live plant-based for the most part whenever I can. You know, plant-based diet, you know, borderline vegan, vegetarian right now, but switching over to veganism. But anyway, I asked her, I was like, have you ever been outside the country before? You know, it's just, I said, she was like, no, I just been, she's from LA. And I was just like, she's like, I don't want to get kidnapped. I'm like, sister, what you mean you don't want to get kidnapped? I'm like, why are you like so worried about getting kidnapped for? Like,
wow,
you know, and it was just weird to me. I was like, I was taken back by it. And I was just telling her all the places I've been and where I plan on going, you know what I mean? Right. Trying to give her some encouragement, you know what I mean? Like, you want to be stuck in Alaska when it's like below zero out, with below zero, triple below zero out or what? Like, you know, I'm trying to give this, you know, I try to encourage our people as much as possible, but at the same time, it's like, you know, I just feel a lot of us are afraid to travel, like
afraid to get out, you know, there a lot, and get into the unknown
and see new things or get out there and to see, you know, getting, not being able to know what's going to happen next. That's the thrill I love. You know, but I wish I really can't answer why our people are so, because we've been oppressed for a very long time, you know what I mean? This is the year of the return, 400 years is up, you know what I mean? Stuff like that. And it's just like, a lot of us been so like told that we can't do certain things, and that come, you know, as a child, you know what I mean? Like, you know, and I was just, you know, getting off into that topic. I was actually just talking to my homeboy back in New York about that. I said, you know what, you ever notice, I had noticed something in common that a lot of black parents have with black children is that they do not allow us to be kids. Like, they don't allow their kids to be kids.
You're right.
They don't, like, and I've noticed that, like, my mom did it, you know what I mean? Like, her mother did it, and it's just like, you know, we do not, like, people, like, the kids in our community are not allowed to be kids for some reason, right? And I think that has a lot to do with it, where they feel that they don't have the desire to travel. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it's just like that gives them like, okay, I'm going to stay in my bubble. I'm going to do my own thing right now. I'm going to do what I got to do. You know, it just, for some reason, we have this mindset like, I can only stay in the hood. You know what I mean? I can only stay where I grew up at. You know, I know many people that's been, that has not been in the, that's been in the, that's been, that has not been outside the States. You know what I mean? I know many people, you know what I mean? And it's just like, I'm scared to fly. I'm scared to take a cruise. Like, like I'm scared to do this. I'm scared to do that. But it's just like, I think it has a lot to, because a lot of us have that Willie Lynch syndrome. A lot of us have that, you know, Stockholm syndrome. Like, you know, we don't, a lot of us don't, I honestly feel like not only are we like somewhat physically free, but
mentally
we're not free up here.
Mentally
or spiritually free.
Yeah.
You know, so we all have the chain is around our minds. You know, that's how I feel.
Mm.
The chains are around my mind, our minds, the chains are around our psyche, around our spirit, you know what I mean? And we don't know, we're still looking for the, trying to find the key to unlock that. You know what I mean? And it's like, it's true. Mm-hmm. It's true. And a lot of us have this thing where we don't, how should I put it? Like, we don't, like, we just feel, for some reason, it's just like we're so used to, you know, yes, we've been out of bondage for how long now? Mm. And we still feel like not only are we physically somewhat free now, but at the same time, it's like you feel like sometimes a lot of our people have this mindset that I can't never go anywhere because we're told we can't.
Mm. Mm.
Like, oh, Master's gonna come and get us. Master's gonna do this. Master's gonna do that. You know what I mean? So we have these that's what that is. You know what I mean? That's how I feel. You know what I mean? I feel that we still have trouble getting out there and doing what we got to do. You know what I mean? To take that leap and go and leave the country. Like I tell people, I wrote on Facebook. You've seen the status. Mm-hmm. I said, Black men, have you ever noticed that once you leave America, how much you are loved outside the States? I'm like, people like grabbing me left and right.
Right.
I never get these this attention in the States. You know what I mean? Like people just pass by me like it's nothing. But when I step off a plane, everybody treats me like a damn diplomat or something. Mm-hmm. You know, exactly. It's just like it was just weird. Like, you know, but I really, really want us to like get out and travel. And this is why I do these things. Like a lot of people are just thinking I'm doing this traveling thing for shits and giggles and all that and all. And I'm like, no, I'm looking and observing how everybody else works together but us.
Man.
And you know it's true, brother.
Yeah. You saying the mouthful right there, bro. Like, man, that fear syndrome, that Stockholm syndrome is so real, man. Like the way
I've always been the courageous one out of all my kids. I mean, out of all my mother's kids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't got no kids right now, but soon I will, hopefully. But, you know, I've always been the most courageous one. I've always been the rebellious one. I was always the one that was my mom was getting calls from the school saying, "Yo, come and get your child. Your child's acting." Like I was the one that was I was the one back growing up.
Yeah.
That was like that. You know what I mean? Like not just wanted to do my own thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's just like, and I'm still doing it, you know? But right.
Brother, that was the same with me, man. Same thing. Mama getting phone calls from the school, from the police station, all that, man.
I was getting in trouble
too much, man.
And then my mother was like, I remember one time we was watching a DMX documentary, and I grew up in Yonkers, Bronx area where he grew up at. I grew up right around the corner from School Street. You know what I mean? In Yonkers, New York, where DMX grew up at. And my mother was like, you wanna end up like that brother DMX that grew up in group homes and foster homes and all that? Sure enough, I kept acting out, and I did.
Hmm.
I did. When I was a teenager, I was in like group homes and everything, in and out of the system.
Man.
A lot of people don't know that, but you know, hey, but a book is coming soon and that's going to be let loose out on that. you know what I mean? So.
Yeah, bro. DMX and the Lox was my favorite group, you know, rappers coming up, man. And I'll be honest with you, man. it was something about that music that got a lot of us and our generation in trouble. You know what I'm saying?
Right, dead
serious, so, man. Like we was right. doing stupid stuff listening to that music. It was our music, it was our culture, but you know, I remember the same things, man, getting in trouble for, you know, listening to DMX. This, you know, you eating long enough, now stop being greedy. Keep it real.
Get to the needy. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's all, yeah.
You know, we I got you, bro. So, you know, the locks, you know, because I grew up in Buffalo. You know, I used to live in Buffalo.
Oh, Buffalo, New York.
Yeah, I used to live in Buffalo,
New York. Oh, 716.
Yeah, 716, man. Oh. And that music was right there in the streets, man. And we was being buck wild, man, crazy, not acting like we ain't got no sense left and right, man. But
right.
You talking about, you know, why black people are so, like, they got these excuses and these reasons why that they fear
I don't got
traveling.
No money, like all this, like
Have you?
I feel like, go ahead.
I was gonna say, have you ran into a problem where if you wanted to go somewhere, you allow money to hinder you from going? No.
Nope.
I knew that was the answer. You know.
Nope.
I knew you was coming with that. Like money is not the issue.
No.
If there's a will, there's a way, right?
Right. Like my phone boy, he does the same type of work that I do, holistic healing and stuff. Also a yoga teacher, Black Packer, all that good stuff. What happened with him is that he actually traveled. I know this is about me and your podcast and whatnot, but
no,
I'm
no,
just
no,
put
man.
This,
go where you need
this
to go
out there.
To.
Yeah.
Go where you need
he
to go.
He went from Guatemala to Honduras with a little bit of money in his pocket. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. you know, and he made it work, you know? Mm-hmm. He volunteered at a bar and just was like slinging drinks, and he was like for a place to stay and for food and stuff. So he did his thing, you know?
Yeah. Man,
you'd be surprised. Like, I don't let no money come in the way of me trying to do what I gotta do, you know?
And why do people think that you gotta be super rich to travel? Like, they think that, oh, that's, you know, international travel is for rich people. Like, you gotta be
right.
some kind of money,
right.
a bank account,
right?
You know, and that's not even the truth. You know, I know this ain't the same thing, but there's a documentary on Netflix where this guy traveled America. He didn't travel outside America, but he only traveled all, you know, over America off the kindness of people. He said, I'm going to travel all 50 states just off the kindness of people, allowing people to, like, help him get there, people drive him there, give him gas money to get there. And all he had was his motorcycle. He was like, you know, I'm just going to use the kindness of people. And he was able to go all over the country just off the kindness of people, generosity, giving, helping.
I forget what it was called. It was a Craigslist guy? Was he a Craigslist dude?
I don't know.
I remember there was one documentary about this brother, this one kid. He was from, like, this one guy was from the middle of, the, like, somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
he was able to go to different.
Yeah. No, I saw that one, too. I saw that one, yeah.
He ended up sleeping on a couch of a dominatrix. Mm-hmm. And she lived over in Chicago, you know, it was just different areas he went to. Like, he'll help somebody move their TV or their furniture for some money for some food. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see something like that, but it wasn't the same exact documentary that you've seen.
Nah.
But I gotta watch that one. Try to think of that name of that documentary, and I'll try to check that out.
I know I just recently watched it, but I can remember everything about it once I go back and look through it. I remember and send you the name of it. But man, I want to keep this thing going because you're hitting some things, man, that really struck me. I want you to just talk about that when you said that Stockholm syndrome thing, man. When you said that we got the Stockholm syndrome, and I believe that most of our fear does come from, most of our fear as black people do come from the Stockholm syndrome, you know, loving your oppressor. Mm-hmm. You feel me? And
I
just want to hear you, man, like, you've been to all these countries, man. Do you see, like, not American black people abroad, because they're the ones with this indoctrination, but do you see when you go abroad, native black people that have this same mindset, this Stockholm syndrome, you know, do you see
you are, you really, brother, you really want me to go there, what I saw in West Africa, Ghana?
Share with the people, man.
Bro, there was a white Jesus everywhere I fucking turned, bro.
Mm.
The to. Like, they was churches everywhere, dude. Hmm. They had the little scriptures on the back of the cars, and it was crazy. Like Psalm 66, like 316, all over the place. Like John 3:16. I'm like, what the? I said, damn, I try to get away from this. And then, like, we up in the tro. Me and my brother, me and my homeboy, Kometic Yogi, Kameen Daniels, and him and Kwesi, and, you know, my other bros, or whatever. We in the tro, right? So it was funny because we're in the tro and all that stuff, and we just chilling and all that. And out of nowhere, it's like, we just like, they listen to gospel music and all that and all that. But I honestly feel, to be honest with you, with that, is that with me saying that, I honestly feel that's just a cover up of what their spirit. I believe that they still practice their own spirituality. Mm-hmm. I just think that's like a facade type of thing, in my opinion. But when I went to the Elmina Castle, which we discussed about that before with text messaging and stuff. I don't want to talk about that too much. I'm gonna end up crying like I did before. So you know, but it was
But I'm gonna put you there though, man, because you know there's some things I'm gonna do my best to not make it too emotional. But if it's the emotions, if it's real, it's real, bro. You got to
That's what this is, man.
So you know, but
So it was like in Cape Coast. Cape Coast, 3 points to Cape Coast or whatever, in Ghana, it's like churches everywhere, everywhere, like hills of churches. You'd be like, you go up one hill, you'd be like, damn, it's another one, you know. And I just feel like they go to these institutions, and I feel, but I got to remember that a lot of them, they were colonized at one point, you know. And that's a little thing. That's the thing that really upset me when I was there. It was just that, like, you know, I was like, wow, I try to get away from all that, like, you know, that Western, like, religion BS, and it's still coming at me, you know what I mean? So it's like, one of those, you know, so, yeah, but I honestly still feel that there is a little, like, Stockholm syndrome
going on,
figuring in, you know, stuff like that, but,
man,
do you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, everything good?
Okay. Yeah, everything's good. Yeah.
Man, you were there. You opened it up now, so I'm gonna have to go there, man. I'm gonna have to ask you because you're there, and I just want to talk about. I want to talk about it. I know you know, you said you've been somewhere everywhere, and you've been back to the motherland, man. Like, what was that experience, bro? Like, what was that like touching down on that continent, bro?
Dude, I felt like I landed on a planet just made just for us, bro. It was like looking in the mirror. I was like, damn. People like all, like black people of all shades, bro. Like, it was just awesome. Like, I was just like, wow. That's all I kept on saying when I was in the car, in the cab, and I was like, wow. I was like, damn, this is crazy. You know what I mean? I was like, finally, I'm not outnumbered anymore. You know, it just felt great.
Definitely.
It just felt great. You know, the food was good. And Ghana, you know, the food was great, and it was like, had a lot of similarities to the food that we grew up on. You know what I mean? You know, so it was awesome, like the macaroni and cheese, the rice, the greens, and stuff like that. You know what I mean? They had like vegetarian, vegan options at this restaurant that I went to a lot when I was there. You know, it was just amazing. I was just like, wow, like. It was just like everything that they said about like Africa, Ghana, is like, it's nothing the way people make it seem. It's beautiful out there. Like, I was like, oh,
that's on the list. Yeah, that's definitely,
you know, it was just amazing. But you know, the trip to the Cape Coast, Ghana was the trip to Cape Coast in Ghana was the best part for me.
Yeah,
you know, it was hard to do that tour of that castle, but I did it. You know?
Yeah, man. Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Because you've been there. You went to Ghana. You went where our ancestors were were shipped out from, man. And you visit the castle, man. Like, let me ask you this before I you go in a little deeper, can Africa heal black people?
Of course. Mm. It's already started with me, brother. Mm.
Yeah.
It's already started.
I like that. I like that. That's a very good, powerful answer, man. So Africa can heal black people. I like that. Okay. I mean, now we got to go into it because you saying Africa.
They kept on saying all they kept on saying was Akwaaba. Akwaaba means welcome home.
Yeah.
Akwaaba. Akwaaba.
Akwaaba. Because I heard that. Yeah. Africa, you know, there's this saying people, you know, like 2-3 years ago, I kept hearing people say, oh, Africa, they don't want y'all. They don't want y'all. They don't want y'all. They don't want black Americans. Right. But everybody that go to Africa and come back, they say, what you talking about? What the fuck you talking about, man? No, people telling us to come back. They want us back. People that go to Africa come back talking about how they want us back. They're like, but what I kept hearing for like 3 years, you know, prior to meeting people that went to Africa and Ghana and all that, I kept hearing people say, Africa don't want black Americans over there. They don't want mm-hmm. they think that we're watered down black type of black people. You understand?
Right, right.
But, you know, you've been there and you know what the word mm-hmm. is. What's the word on the street in Africa, bro?
Yeah, it's just amazing. They want us to come back home, dude. Mm. I'm already planning to go back in October. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to do my visa process again and just be out again. Like I'm ready to go back. Mm, you know, I'm ready to explore all the other places that I've never been to over there. So
I'm ready. That healing. It's that healing that you want to go back to. It's like one of those kind of I can go back to Africa. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty amazing, bro. What was it like, bro? What was it like visiting that dungeon, man? What was that like?
I was fighting with my spirit the whole entire time as I was walking up there, because we was like staying in a hostel. Me and two other bros were staying in a hostel before I went. And I said, I don't think I'm ready to go. I'm like, nah, I can't do this. I can't do this. Yo, bro, I can't do that. Like, he's like, bro, you need to do it. And he's like, yo, your trip won't be your, like, I call it the journey black home. Okay. Get it? You get it? Okay. The journey black home. Okay. That's what I call it. So, he's like, yo, you're like, you put it on Facebook, like, your journey black home won't be like a journey black home unless you do this. So you got to, you know, you have to. It's a must. Like, he's like, everybody that I bring over here, because he's from the States originally, but he lived over in Ghana most of the time, most of the year or whatever. Like, maybe like 6-8 months out of the year. So he was like telling me, he's like, yo, you have to do this. You have to do this. I'm like, okay. I'm like, okay, it's only a couple, like 50 CD, which is only $10 to get to do this whole tour or whatever. Mm-hmm. I was just like, okay, whatever. So, sorry.
This is a platform for it, bro.
Yep. Oh, fuck. Mm.
You're buying them now?
Damn, bro. You don't have to go there if you don't want to, man. If you want to pass that, you can pass that. But I think our people, they want to know. I think they want to know what it's really like from someone who has been there.
What happened was, so I get into the part where they're about to, you go through this thing, and you go through this, they show pictures and artifacts of everything, what was used and everything like that. The first grand, the entrance of this place. And it's real dark, it's real low lit. I'm seeing all these pictures, like pictures and like drawings and pictures and stuff. And I'm seeing all these pictures and stuff of what's going on, like all the stuff that they went through. Mm-hmm. So all the shackles and like the everything. So I'm looking and I'm like, you know, I'm with my homeboy or whatever, and it gets real. And dude, I don't know what happened, But I literally started to collapse, bro, just on the flying. And like they, and then we stopped the tour, you know. I got through my, you know, I'm trying to smile for this because shit is so painful just to talk about it again. But, you know, it's just, you know, like, so I do that a lot, you know, I do that a lot. So, what happened was, I'm like sobbing, like literally just, I'm right there sobbing, like just like crying and whatnot, because I'm hurt, because I feel the energy in the in the whole entire space. You see every, you hear about it, you know, but it's not like, it's, you hear about your history and history books and you hear about all these other things, but when you, when it really comes down to it, you're like, damn, I'm actually here, you know, like I'm here, like, you know, I'm literally here, like finally I'm in the space where my ancestors walked through to get on. And you know, for me, going into them that, and like when they was talking about different, they was doing a recording and stuff like that. They was not recording, but I was recording the guy speaking. And what happened when the brother was speaking about what went on and stuff, and you know, I'm like, I'm still like tears are rolling down my eyes and all this and all that. And I'm just like trying to like listen to this guy speak or whatever. And then he leads us down into this dungeon where they literally kept all of us at. And, you know, I'm happy, dude. It was nothing but the ancestors and the Most High that was holding me up, dude. Because I was ready to, dude, my ass would have been stayed on that floor, on that floor in that damn lobby if I didn't want to do it. But I had to, you know what I mean? It was just like, you know, and I think the more and more that I talk about this, the better I get processing it. But, you know, with that, it's just like I try, you know, being in that state was like, wow. Because you feel, like I said, when you're in those rooms and you see what happened and you see the you see the markings where they was able to, where they was actually able to, like, where they literally, like, had us chained to the wall. But you see all those markings and, you know, like, the shackles and, like, the, where they, you know, and I was like, wow, how many people was able to be in this room? Like, clustered. I think of, like, a chicken farm with a bunch of chickens in it. In this small-ass room, like,
I think of it like a can of sardines, kind of like a can of sardines, right?
And as he was telling the story about how, you know, how a lot of us, you know, he was just talking about a lot of the different of things and the different experiences these people had. Like if you disobeyed, like the person that was in charge of the castle, that you was gonna either get raped or be ended. Like, you know, you wasn't getting fed that night before you went on to that, you know, onto the ship and stuff. And it's just like a lot of the times, it's just like I keep thinking about it, and I just think about how I feel more like since my trip back from Ghana. I feel that I have more to live and to live for, and I'm actually more proud to be a Black man than I ever have been.
I got through
saying that without crying, which is good.
You held your own right here, man. You held your own.
Right.
You said something. I asked you. You said, "Can Africa heal people?" And you said yes. And you said it with power. You said it with conviction. And you said yes. I'm not. And I noticed that. You're a yoga teacher, and that's another thing I wanted to ask you. I wanted to ask you, can yoga heal people?
Black people? Yes.
Because, you know, most of Black people, you know, most Black people are church going Baptist Bible carrying, and they don't do
the yoga. Pentecostal.
Yoga is spooky. Like, no, spooky, we don't do yoga.
Demonic. You know.
Yeah, it's demonic.
Yeah.
This isn't spirituality. This isn't Christ. This is that's demonic woo stuff. Like you're a yoga teacher. And you taught with people in Africa. You did yoga with people in Africa. Like, how is yoga healing people over there and black people generally?
Well, my bro that I was telling you about that was comforting. He was actually comforting me through the whole entire tour, and he was actually helping me go through with the tour. He was the one that was actually, you know, giving me empowerment. It's like, bro, you got to do it. This is honoring your ancestors. This, that, and the third. I'm like, okay, cool. So I finally got to do it. Whatever. Fast forward. He's actually a Baptiste Baron yoga teacher. Mm-hmm. He's actually bringing the yoga over there. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what happens is when I met him, I did not know him until I actually met him in person or whatever. I didn't know him off of Facebook, but a lot of the other bros I already knew already from them following me on Facebook. So what happened was we ended up you know, just vibing and all that good stuff. And he's, you know, over there, he's trying to get people, like, he's trying to get more, bring yoga into the African, Ghana, West African world over there. That's what he's trying to do. He's doing a good job at it. I've been watching his posts on social media, and it seems like he's doing a really good job at it. Mm-hmm. But I honestly feel that Ghana, that side of the world, Africa can actually benefit from yoga. Oh. Let me tell you something. Because the Egyptians, if you go into the tombs of Egypt, you see them doing different yoga poses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, you see that, you know, and it's all, and you know, like, I remember I was going through yoga teacher's training, and they kept on saying, it's an Indian practice. Like, okay, I'm the token black guy in this whole entire, out of what? 20 some odd females. I had to shut my fucking mouth. I couldn't stand up and be like, yo, my people invented that shit. I couldn't just stand up and say that. Uh-huh. You know how weird that I would sound? Like, like my homeboy Kameen, Comedic Yogi, whatever, on Facebook, he was like, bro, don't even say nothing. Because you know the truth.
Yeah.
Don't say anything, though. He's like, don't say anything. Just let them teach you whatever they need to teach you. And that was it. And just do your thing. Get your certificate and bounce.
Yeah. Get your papers and know that you can teach anywhere. But, you know, you can teach it with your truth tied into it. And so you don't have to really go the route of what they actually gave you. You know, you just get the paper and say, hey, this. I'm certified, right? You know? So, right. You know what I'm saying? But you teaching yoga, you teaching yoga to black people only? I mean, like, just, or you using it for yourself?
Or I really want to get back to us so bad. Mm-hmm. But you know, most of my students are, of course, right? Yeah. You know what I mean? Hey, but man. I really, because we know a lot. Let me tell you something about the thing. I go up to a brother or sister and says, I was in Walmart last year. About two years ago. I was up in a Walmart last year around this time. And I'm shopping, getting my, like, you know, my hygiene products and stuff like that. Even though I get all my hygiene products from a black owned vendor, actually. But what happened was I was just getting knickknacks and stuff. And I met the sister called, I'ma show us love no matter where I go. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's like, bro, wow, bro. Like, I don't see most of us a lot. All the time.
Yeah.
So it's like a family reunion every single time I see one of us. Okay. Yeah. So it's like I see this one sister that's walking, like, you know, so she said, What do you do? Like, what? I'm like, well, I do multiple things. Like, I wear many hats. What you want to know? I said, well, I'm a holistic healer. I do yoga teaching and all this good stuff. So she said, she's probably a church going lady. She's like, you like that? She goes to me and says, you like that? Wow. You like yoga, like that's something that you like. And I was like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Why? What's up? He's like, you know, because it's like their idea is that we don't do yoga.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We don't work. Right. We, like, a lot of our people don't work out, you know, especially the women. Can I touch on something real quick?
Yeah, go there, man.
I noticed, you know, a lot of our black women don't like to work out, get sweaty because they don't want to do it because they don't want to mess up their hair or, you know, they just got their hair done. They, mm-hmm. you know, makeup, nails, eyelashes, all that craziness. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, it's with that. It's just like with me, with that being said, it's like for me, it's like, I feel that all of our people could definitely benefit.
Yeah,
like it's, you know, from.
It's a healing method. I actually.
Right. I'm saying, this is a thing. This is what I go. But this is because, you know, a lot of like our older generation, tends to not like anything new. They're set in their old ways. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Especially our people from our generation or whatever, like, or older, I mean, like older generations.
Yeah.
I mean, like, we tend to be setting out. Yeah. Like, oh, that's demonic. Don't bring that in my house. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember prime example. I went to a mentor's house, and I took a picture of this dragon face, this devil mask, whatever, that was from Japan that he had on his wall. Mm-hmm. So I shot the picture to my mother. My mother would not let me in the house. Mm. I came home because she was scared because that was going to bring demons and all types of in her house. And I'm like, come on, Ma. Like, what's up with you? Like, you know, she gonna let me be out in the cold, sleep on the concrete.
What's up with that? With that
in the middle,
with that true New York accent. What's up with you, Ma? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like I'm like, yo, what's up, Ma? Like, what you trying? Like, what's up? Like, what you mean? Like,
right.
Like, what you mean that I can't come in your house? I can't come back in the house because I took a picture of something.
Wow.
So I'm like, yo, like, what you talking about?
The level, you know? The level of indoctrination and fear that has been driven into us, man. Oh my!
Right, like God. My mother told me my grandmother went to church 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm. 7 days.
7 days a week. 7 days a week. Every day they went to church.
Wow.
You know, and you know, my mom, like, I don't know how this happened. Like, you go from one indoctrination to another, and then you twitch right back over to the one that you try to get out of. Like, you went back, and then you go back to it after something else didn't work out. It doesn't make no sense. Like, people even ask me, like, your mom was a Christian growing up, went to Catholic school, Christian school, whatever. Met my dad, became part of the Nation of Islam. And then you go back to something that you already try to run away from, trying to get with my dad. And then, like, you know, it's just weird. Like, you know, I never understood that either. But, you know, it's just that indoctrination. Like, people need to start thinking for themselves. Like, you know, that's why I keep saying our people are spiritually and mentally dead, my brother. And I really mean that, dude. Like, I really mean that. Like, a lot of us is like, you know, that's the one thing about being black and abroad. I didn't have to worry about, like, a cop coming up to me asking for ID. I didn't have to worry about a cop trying to shoot me. I didn't have to worry about that shit, man.
That's deep.
You know what I mean? Like, I didn't have to worry about worry about that. You know, I could walk outside my apartment in Da Nang, Vietnam, just chill and just walk out my apartment and not have to worry about turning the corner and being shot, dude.
Wow.
Or any of that, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, I didn't have to worry about that, but it's like, when I come back here, I got to worry about that now.
right. Oh my God, the switch of mind you got to change into. That switch you got to, you know, when you come from one place and it's like, it's all good and it's cool, it's like night and day, hot and cold. You know, you're over there, and then you come back over here and you got to flip a switch on real quick and remember, like, oh yeah, I'm in America, I can get shot for just walking away from the police.
You know, and I'm going to tell you this also is the fact that a lot of our people, not only do we have this indoctrination, like Willie Lynch syndrome thing, or like, you know, this other craziness or whatever, like, you know, Willie Lynch and like Stockholm syndrome. But a lot of our people, let me tell you something, as long as it's not one of our family members, you know how many brothers and sisters are missing in America right now, dude?
Man, I can only imagine.
Dude, that could have been one of our, that could be one of our family members. It is, and let me tell you something. Mm. Let me tell you something else. It's not going to hit home for us until it's one of our family fucking members, dude.
Yeah, right.
He was like, what are you worried about? Is it you that's happening to?
Right.
I was like, nigga, get the fuck out of here. Like, that could be one of my family members, dude. Like,
that's the most idiotic.
That could be my mom. That could be my dad. If my dad was still here, but you know, mm-hmm. that could be my brother, my sister, my uncle, my niece, anybody, my cousin, mm-hmm. anybody. Mm-hmm. You know, anybody that's close to me, man.
Yeah. Bro.
I said, that's cool. It's called empathy, man. That's what that shit is called.
Right. It's called, yep. You got facts on. That's facts all day, man. Like, that's where our separation, I believe a lot of the separation comes in at with us, is that we see ourselves as individuals and not brothers and sisters, literally.
Right, right.
You know
right.
what I'm saying? We like, see ourselves as separate.
For instance, I work with, they get a lot of people from Jamaica that work here. Mm-hmm. That's from the islands, it's from the Caribbean.
Okay.
And I tell them straight up, don't act like you're better than me because I'm not from where you're from. My family's from St. Thomas originally, but we've been in the States for a very long time.
Uh-huh.
Okay, we've been since when we got independence over in the Virgin Islands, U.S. Virgin Islands, before it was America. Uh-huh. We came over and we fled up north.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so and I tell them like you know. But you know, I tell them just because you're from another island does not mean that I'm not your brother or your sister. You black just like me, dude.
Right, and they ain't gonna treat you no different when you open right. your mouth. You know what I mean? They ain't gonna treat you no different. They're gonna show you.
I tell them like I said yup. I was like, you know what? The first thing I remember when we first got here when we first started working this season. What's the first thing they do? I was like, they stop at a Popeye's restaurant. I was like, mm-hmm. You no different than me. Mm-hmm. If I was to eat that, you no different than me.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, you're putting half a bottle of hot sauce on that shit. Yep. I'm like, nigga, you black?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Shit.
Man, I'm with you on that, bro.
I tell him. I said, you're my brother, bro.
Mm-hmm.
You my sister, bro.
Mm-hmm. They need to hear that because I've been places where, not just outside the country. I'm talking about simply right in my own city, where I don't know a black dude, but you know we walk past each other, and we may be in an area that's predominantly predominantly white or something like that,
mm-hmm.
and
right.
You know. It's kind of like we got this understanding of knowing that if shit go down and it's just us two, we got to have each other back. You know what I'm
Facts.
Saying?
Facts.
That's
prime example, dude. I kid you not. I worked in Alaska last year,
mm-hmm.
last summer. This dude comes on, his brother. I did not know he was gonna. I knew he was getting a new hire, but I did not know that he was gonna be coming on. As my supervisor and coworker, I had to have a nigga talk with him. I was like, dude, we the only two Negroes up in this place. You from Denver? I said you from Denver, motherfucking Colorado, and I'm from the Bronx. I said we are to have each other's backs up in this place.
Mm-hmm.
When you're fucking up, I'm fucking up.
Mm.
And when I'm fucking up, you're fucking up.
Oh no, that's deep.
I told him. I said, bruh, like, if anything was to happen, bruh, like we supposed to have each other's back. I told him right away. I said, no. I said, no, there's no cooning and buffooning up in here, motherfucker. I said, dude, we're gonna have each other's back for real.
Mm.
I let him know. Mm. I let him know. I was like, bro, you can't. Said, no, this is not the place. This is not the place for you to just be going off doing what you gotta do, mixing and mingling and trying to get on my people's good side, dude. This no.
Mm-hmm.
Where I'm from, we don't do that. We don't do shit like that, bro. Mm-hmm. I don't know where you grew up. I was like, bro, and we gave each other that and was like, bro, I got you.
Yeah, and
that it was smooth sailing the whole entire fucking summer,
man,
dude.
I love that, man, because damn
I said. If we can, I said you're not my super. I said you're not my supervisor. You are my brother.
I love that.
And I'm deep. You're not my. I'm not your employee. I'm your brother. Okay, let's put it that way.
Yeah, we gotta look out for each other, man. That's some deep shit though, man. Because, you know, like imagine if we all can just have that kind of a audacity to just be able to just step up to your, you know, somebody like that, somebody who's supposed to be your supervisor, and just air it out like, yo, man, this is what it is. And although I respect you as my superior, but at the same time, man, like, it's only us in this bitch, man. We got to be down for each other, man. You feel me?
Right. And it's just like, you know, there's times where he was late for work, and I was like, yo, nigga, where the fuck you at? Mm-hmm. So you can't be late like everybody else does, bro.
Yeah.
You have to be 10, you have to work 10 times, 10, 20 times more or better.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. No. I was like, bro, you can't. You can't do what I said. You can't do what everybody fucking does, man.
Can't have that mentality.
You can't.
Not in this can't. World. Not in America.
I said, you can't do that. You can't do that, bro. I was like, I literally, like, you know, I'd be like, when I would work the same shifts as him, I would go right over to his cabin and knock on his door and be like, you know, because they house us and stuff.
Yeah.
So I would knock on his door. I said, brother, you ready? Let's go. We got 10 minutes. Because he was just always like, he would always like be late sometimes, and then like I'll be like, bro, get your ass, get up, let's go. I was just like, yo, and he's like, yo, thank you. He's like, cause he said, like, you need to. I said, well, I can't be doing that all the time, because what if one day I'll oversleep by 5-10 minutes? My ass is fucked. You know what I mean? Yeah, so I'm like, yeah. I can't afford to be doing that all the time. I said, bro, I'm only doing this because you're my brother, dude.
Mm-hmm.
And I let it be known.
Have to be.
I love it.
Man, we have to. We have to have that sense of mind, that presence of mind, that wherever we go, right. We're brothers. We're, you know, hey. We can't.
It's like when you get that, when you in like around here, when I see a brother, or whatever, like I saw an older sister that was walking past me, and I did the head nod up, because like, I know I got you. Yeah, we here.
That's
I got
exactly.
You.
We here. That's right. Eye to eye. We eye to eye. Right. That's facts, man. You hitting on a lot of what I feel like, man, a reminder for me. You hitting on a lot of reminders for me.
Because at the in this time and day and age, we are all we got, dude. There's no allies.
But
no allies, bro.
But let me ask you something. I think we just opened up a good can of worms right here, man. Because me and you, we're the type of people, we passionately love our people. Passionately.
Right.
But we see that our people don't passionately love us back in the form of supporting us or, you know, helping us when there's we got ideas and things we want to put together. And black people abroad, not abroad, but in America, black people in the wealthy top, you know, 1%, you know, they see us down here struggling and you know, we're not creating, you know, banks and business loans, small business loans for other black people that's on a lower scale than them. And so what I see, and I'm gonna ask you this is a question to you. Why is it that black people are scared of each other, man? You understand? Why are we scared to work with each other? Why are we scared to invest in each other? Why are we scared to do for each other? Why are we scared to go to bat for each other? Why are we scared? You understand? And do you see?
I'm guilty of that.
Mm-hmm.
Many of times. Let me know what I did not talk about on Facebook is that I had a brother that was traveling with me, and one of my homeboys was traveling with me. He was actually a massage client of mine, and he ended up traveling. I told him, I was like, bro, you're going to need X amount of money to stay over in Thailand for the month or so that you're going to be there. Because that's how long I'm going to be there. I said, yo, get your money up, this, that, and the third. I'm already making, you know, as a waiter, I'm already making pretty good money. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, with the tips and everything. But what happened was is that he comes out there with no money. So I spot him, and I was like, you know, then that mindset came back where, damn, this dude looks just like, he looks like me, just darker. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. He's like, we share the same ancestry and shit, you know? And I was like, and I can't do this. I was like, what is it? Me to be just me to be like, you know what, screw you. You did, you made your own bed, now you lie in it type situation. You knew what you was getting into. And I was thinking all types of shit in my head. You know what I mean? Like, you did it to yourself, whatever. I said, you know what? Let me help this bro out. And I have had that problem where, you know, I didn't want to, I refused to support, you know, my fellow bro. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's just like, for me, it's like, I feel that we, you know, and in the end, I did spot him here and there, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Which was something that I did out of the goodness of my heart. But at the same time, it's like, for me, it's like, I feel that a lot of us don't, okay, a good example. I have all these prime examples, okay? Mm-hmm. Hot dog stands. I don't know if they had them when you was in Buffalo, New York, but in New York City, they have these hot dogs. Mm-hmm. One could be owned by a white guy. Mm-hmm. Next one by Asian. They'd be all the same. $2.25 for a hot dog, $2.25 for a hot dog, $2.25 for a hot dog. The only difference is it's just ran by two other types of people. Mm-hmm. Asian, white, and black. The dude would go right to a you get what I'm saying?
A white guy. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Why not? Why don't you support the vendor, the hot dog vendor that's for the same price as the rest of the other two. Uh-huh. And a lot of our people are like are screwed up in the head because it's like, for us, it's like we tend to have this mindset like, I'm not gonna, no, that shit is too expensive. I'm not gonna support that. Or, you know, it just, we have these different mindsets and these really fucked up ideas and mindset that a lot of us need to start. I wish more of us had, you know, there's a brother that, did you hear about the brother that, the billionaire brother? Mm-hmm. He's wiping clean HBCU, HBCU colleges. Mm-mm. He's wiping the debt clean of the students.
Oh, I ain't hear that. No, I gotta look that up.
This brother that just did that, a black man that's a billionaire,
donated
wiping everybody's like debt clean.
Ooh, that's dope. That's
dope. Dude, I was like, what?
Wow. Can imagine being one of those students.
Right. I was like, shit.
Man, I need to go back to school. Get a loan just so I can get my debt
like that. Right. So it's like with that, it's just like, that's what I'm saying. Like with that, it's just like a lot of us need to get on that type of level. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, for instance, this is going back and supporting our people. Okay. You heard about the nail salons that in Brooklyn with them sisters getting beat up and getting acetone thrown in their face and all that, you know? Just because I don't speak about certain things on Facebook as much as I did before does not mean that I'm not aware of it. And a lot of people think, you know, just because I don't talk about it, it's not because I'm not aware of it. That does not mean I'm aware of it, you know what I mean? But anyway, so, you know, you can't go to a black owner, like, to get your manicure, pedicure. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't, like, you know, a lot of you, it's like going back to the same thing. It's like going back to somebody that absolutely does not like you, and you're asking, like, it's like saying, master, I'm sorry, like, you know, you keep going back, and it's obvious that this person does not want you around them, wants you to, you know? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's one of those situations where I just feel like, you know, a lot of us really need to really, you know, I wish there was something like, we do have black mix. We do have those. They have a couple of those in New York, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, if you want to call it that, you know what I mean?
Do you think the country is dividing black people or black people dividing black people?
Hold on, let me wait until these people, because I'm about to go in now. I'm going to wait until these people pass by.
Oh, okay. I just truly believe that, you know, I asked you that question because I think you definitely seen enough of black people. You know, you've seen a lot of black people being abroad, traveling, being black abroad.
Right.
Coming back to America. Right. And you can kind of, you got an outside looking in kind of perspective. And so you know, having that outside looking in kind of perspective.
I honestly feel that your question was, do you think that America is dividing black people or black people dividing other black people?
Right.
I feel, how should I say, I'm trying to word this correctly, try to be nice about it, but I'm not going to be nice about it. Okay, I'm just going to just say it the way I feel.
Be honest.
I honestly feel that, because we had the second, we had, it's that divide and conquer thing that we got going on, okay? I honestly feel some of our people are, it can go either both ways with that. I think some of our people is doing it, and some of the powers that be that do it. You know who those know who the powers that be is.
Definitely.
So, you know, I just feel like it's a give and take, and I think it's a little bit more a little bit of both, if you ask me, because I honestly feel that we need to stop this whole thing with this whole being better than, we're always in competition with each other, and that what keeps us divided.
I like that.
It's all about that. It's always about who has the best toys wins type situation. Like I we have a classism thing that we don't talk about.
Ooh, I got a book
middle
called
class, upper house.
I got a book called Color Complex. It's about that.
Right. You know, and we have this, you know, we have this color complex or whatever. We have this also, we have this thing where a lot of our people have this thing where I'm better than, I bought my cars better than yours, you know, I got the latest Jordans. And that's it. Can I touch on that real quick?
Touch on it, bro. Touch on it.
The Jordans. Don't you know Michael Jordan don't give a fuck about us? Once his father got murdered, he lost all hope for us.
He lost all fucks.
Yeah, he gives zero fucks now. Like, yeah.
He said he can't find a fuck.
Right. So it's like with him, it's like I tell people, it's just like with us, it's like. You know, with us, it's like we, like I said, like, you know, I honestly feel like we're so in competition with everybody. Like, I'm gonna tell you something. Going back to what you talked about, you know, supporting black businesses and stuff, bro, I'm sitting on a couch, minding my own business. And what happens is I'm in the lounge, just chilling, minding my own business and whatnot. And I see two coworkers talking about stocks and bonds. Mind you, I'm listening to this. I'm in earshot distance listening to this. You feel me? What do you think the first thought in my head? These are two white guys just talking about stocks and bonds. They're both on their phones trying to teach each other how to do it, how to invest. Brother, let me ask you this. You're probably going to hit the nail right on the head, but what do you think remotely close to what I was thinking in my head at the time when I heard them talking about that?
Why can't we do that? Yeah.
Exactly.
Why can't we do that?
Prime example.
You sit down.
Like, bro, like I was. Right. Prime example. And I'm saying to myself, why can't we do that? I'm like, damn, they're talking about stocks and bonds and stuff and investments and how to have your assets in place and all that. And I'm like, they're having like a conversation between both of themselves. And I'm listening. I'm like right there listening. And I'm hearing this. I'm like, wow, damn, what's up?
Brother,
I want to transition
real quick and just say, You've been some of everywhere, man. You've been to Thailand, you've been to Cambodia, you've been to Africa, you know, you've been to India.
Yeah,
I've seen you've been in the capital, the yoga capital of the world. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, tell us, you got any stories you can share about your trip abroad? Any from any place?
Okay, besides someone thinking I was Floyd Mayweather.
Right.
That was funny, bro. I was like, what? And I've been through. There was like a mini monsoon flood out there. That was good. That was quite the experience. But
it was a cleansing.
Nobody was hurt. Yeah, it was cool. It was like, whoa. Like, this is, you think you have it worse than America, man. Mm. This is what the shit they gotta deal with on a daily basis, you know? Mm-hmm. Rishikesh, India. That's where Rishikesh, India was nice. It was good. It's different. That's all I'm gonna say.
It's different. You like the food?
It's different.
Is the food good?
The food was easy to get to adapt to because it's much healthier than what we eat in the States for the most part. Everybody eats a plant-based, vegetarian, vegan diet over there. Yeah, you know, even though milk is more is very much so, like, it's lucrative over there.
Yeah,
like it's a lot of it. Mm-hmm. So, but the traffic is fun.
Yeah.
You know, the traffic's cool. I mean, different, like, you know, it wasn't that much traffic in Rishikesh, mm-hmm. but in other places, you know, it was quite the experience. You know,
man, you got pictures of the Taj Mahal in your Facebook, man. That's, did you go inside? Did you visit inside?
The Taj Mahal, I'm gonna tell you, the outside is absolutely stunning. It's absolutely beautiful. You already seen it. I already showed the pictures of it, you know. But the inside, it wasn't that great.
Like, the outside looked good, and the inside ain't
good. Awesome. The inside was like, it was just a king and queen tomb. Mm. So you could see their castles, right? It was just the mausoleum type situation. Like, they had it gated off and stuff. And it's very small inside. Like, you can't really do much. You just got to walk. You got to walk around in a circle. It's like you go in, you do, like, one walk around a circle with a bunch of other people in it. And that's it. It was the marble. It's made out of marble structure. They were made out of marble only from India. Different types. Yeah. It was different types of marble and different types of stones that was embedded into it. But it was nice. It was worth it, though.
I bet, man. That was when I saw the picture. I was like, that's pretty dope, man. That's sick. You've been to the Taj Mahal, but you know, sometimes you got to go see things for yourself to kind of judge, like, how beautiful it really is.
Right. Because,
like you said, the inside wasn't all that. But if you could recommend, if you could recommend one place out of all the places you've been. You know, if you could recommend one place that everybody should go for the very first time stepping out of the country, stepping out of America, anybody looking to travel, what would that one place be? Where is that?
Talking about us or our people?
I'm talking about, go start there. Start there. Start right there.
West Africa, Ghana.
Okay.
Ghana.
I thought you'd go there.
Yeah, West
Africa. Yeah, I think that's pretty cool that you say that because, you know, like you said, that's our healing. Our healing is over there. So I would definitely be that's on my list anyway, coming up February, so I'll be going over there for sure this time. Let me ask you this real quick. Where's the one thing that you feel or one-on-one thing, like, this is one thing you would recommend? You know, if you could recommend anything, what is the one thing you recommend that could unite Black people in the spirit of, what is the one thing that you feel could unite Black people in the spirit of healing? What is that one thing that you feel that could bring a brotherhood and a sisterhood about?
Deprogramming.
How do you do that?
Yeah.
How do you do that? Nature?
Nature, the each one teach one method, you know, eating right, you know, opening your third eye, you know what I mean? Like,
all right, brother, man, I'm gonna shoot some questions out there for you real quick.
Yeah,
I'm gonna want you to answer them because we're gonna be we got into a lot, we built a lot back,
Right. I was not expecting this. I was not expecting this podcast to go this way. I was nervous. Oh, like, man. I took a piss like 5 times. I was like nervous. Like
5 times. Man, let me tell you, I took a piss 5 times.
Right. Like, I was like super nervous, and I was like pacing back.
Man, it went good, man, to me. It went pretty damn good for me. Right. And, bro, let me ask you.
Yeah, I was not expecting this outcome.
Name one thing you are grateful for.
Life.
You're grateful for life. Name one book, one song, or one movie that still inspires you today.
Post-traumatic slaying syndrome by Joy DeGray. Dr. Joy DeGray.
Say that name one more time, Dr. Joy.
DeGray.
Okay. They just look it up. Post-traumatic slaying syndrome. Yeah. Okay, cool. Name one person.
It's gonna cover everything we talked about.
Ooh, I like it. I actually heard of the book, but never didn't know the author name when you said it, but I actually heard of that book. But name one person who made an impact or who had the biggest influence on your life.
It's a hard one. There's so many. Dang, that's a lot. That's a lot. It's a lot of people. Yeah.
As I say, but name one person that has. I know a lot, but name one.
And has an impact on my life. Mm-hmm. I can say my mother in a way, because mm-hmm. I seen how much she has grown as a woman, you know, as being a mother that was like a single mother at first, and then she became married. She got married or whatever, and then. Yeah, so she put a lot of work into me, you know, getting me the help that I needed in different aspects of my life and stuff like that, and you know. But even though, like, I'm slowly but surely trying to get my relationship back to where it used to be, but I don't know how that's gonna pan out, but hoping for the best.
Man, I dig that. You gave props to moms, man. And mom's gonna hear this.
Yeah.
Mom's gonna love it. Mom's gonna be like, oh, that's my boy. That's my boy, man. But this,
right.
This is the round right here, man, where I want you to now let the people feel your flow. Now, what flow means, it means feeling love operate within, FLOW, feeling love operate within. Just let the people take the time, man, take a moment, you know, go wherever your heart tells you to go, speak whatever you feel you need to speak, but let it be strictly from the heart, man. And just let people feel your flow, let people feel that feeling love operate within. And that's what it means. It just means to just come from the heart with it and let it flow. So you take the floor, man. Let them know how it is, and then I'll come back and I'll end it all for us, bro.
Well, I just honestly feel that we need to start working together more. I honestly feel that a lot of our people is hurting all over. I feel that we need to, it needs to be less fighting and more like love in between each other. You know what I mean? Like, I've been to like what, 6-7 other countries so far in the last 6 or 7 months. And it's like, everybody works together but us. You know what I mean? I feel that, you know, everybody just has this sisterhood, this brotherhood, whatever you want to call it, you know, over there. And I'm like, but then we're left out, and we're like, yo, what's up with our people? You know what I mean? Like, what's up with, you know what I mean? Like, what's up with us? You know? And I feel that a lot of us needs to really, you know, we need to get our shit together for real. Mm-hmm. And, you know, cause it's not, you know, and I think that's what we really, you know, the ancestors, you know, Malcolm X, the Marcus Garvey's, the Bob Marley's, the, you know, James Baldwin's, the Langston Hughes, I can go on. Mm-hmm. Okay. They wrote books. They told us what we need to do. Mm-hmm. They told us, you know, start homeschooling your kids. I'm so against the public school system in America.
Yeah.
Homeschool your kids.
I can't convince. I can't even convince my own kids' mom to do it. She won't even do it. I'm like, I can't.
Like, you know, it's obvious. Like, you know, like, it's obvious that you know, like, the school system has not done us justice since the beginning of time. It has not. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not showing us or teaching us to come to learn from within. You know what I mean? They're not teaching us that. Mm. You know, a lot of, you know, it's just like a lot of, you know, it's just assimilation. It's this going along with society and what they want us to do as people, especially as Black people. It's just like, we need to start doing our own things. I'm so for homeschooling. And I've been wanting to say this for the longest, and I said it. Mm. Okay?
Yeah, you said it.
So I'm all for it. I mean, you know what I mean? I'm all for, you know, being able to, I'm all for the homeschooling. I'm all for, you know, us coming together, get more businesses up, man. You know, you can find me on Facebook, you know, my first and last name, Adarachman Bishmallah Kelson, AR-RAAHMAN, last name Kelson, KJELDSON. You can find me there on Facebook. Don't have an Instagram yet. Mm-hmm, I have to create a new one for the one that I'm for the audience I'm trying to reach.
Yeah,
you already know who that is. So mm-hmm. I'm trying to recreate a new one soon.
Just recreate that image.
Yeah, create that image. You know what I mean? But you know, give hugs. Help us grow spiritually. You know.
Yes, brother, man. I just want to say, you know, positive light and vibes to you, God. I speak, you know, highly, high energy into your life so that you can continue to go on and continue to be youthful in everything that you do and be productive in life. And I just speak positivity over your mind and over your heart. I speak love over your space. I speak that everything that comes into your existence be for your greater good, be your elevation, be for your manifestation. And I speak that, I just speak that over everywhere, every step that you take, and that everything just unfolds the way that you desire it, and the way that your heart sees it and wants it, and the way that your mind envisions it, brother. So I speak thank that you. Over you right now, man. And I thank you for doing the show with me, taking the time out your day, brother, and even with you for this moment. I really appreciate you. I appreciate you, brother.
Thank you.
So, man, we're going to get together, man. You already know what it is. Hit me up in the inbox. You feel me? You know I'm always there for you, bro. And let's continue to build, man. Let's continue to educate the generations to come, man.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, brother, man. Hey, folks, that's what it is. So, you know, hey, we got to go. That's our show for today, In Pursuit of Purpose podcast. You can listen to us on Spotify, Google.